Hello and welcome back to TL Talks Podcast. I am TL. As usual, it's good to have you. So this week's episode is going to be a little bit different. Same format, but just obviously lack of football news. And so we can skip most of that. But most of it will just be my thought of the day, then diving into the interview, which lasts a little bit over an hour. And so, thought of the day is first up. Thought of the day has to do with something that I have struggled with pretty much my whole life. And that is, how do I word this? I guess it's just basically, I've always wanted people to like me. I'm not sure the psychology reason for that. But it's definitely been a reoccurring theme in my life. When people don't like me. or block me or hate me or, you know, try to just say bad things about me. It's always bothered me. I think that's to a certain extent normal. That's a normal human emotion to feel. But I think for me, it bothers me a little bit more than what I'm comfortable with. And so I would love to be free of that. I would love to not care who likes me or who doesn't like me or who agrees with me or disagrees with me. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, those things matter that much, but they do affect me more than what I'm comfortable with. So that's my thought of the day. My example for you in regards to that would be recently, I'd say in the last week, since basically my last podcast, I've posted on Facebook, maybe two or three times. The first time I posted was, a post that I had been putting off for a while, and it was basically just me sharing my thoughts on the obvious situation in America right now in regards to the murder of George Floyd and everything connected to that, basically. So, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, the protesting and unfortunately, the riots and looting that also are happening, just kind of, you know, it's a lot of things to unpack. And so at first I was just going to not comment on it at all. But then I started seeing people post saying like, hey, if you're silent right now, we are taking note of that. Basically, like, you being silent is basically you being guilty by association by not speaking up and saying that you're supporting this or that. So I said, okay, well, if you're going to play it that way, then I kind of have to say something. But I also, it's a little bit of a delicate balance, right? Because you're trying to obviously be empathetic to what happened and the current, you know, situation in America. But you're also, if you're like me, you kind of have to keep it real with yourself. And so I'm not going to, you know, I've never been one to kiss ass, and so I'm not going to start now. And I'm not going to, like, write a post in a way that's trying to cater to somebody, if that makes sense. So I'm just going to be real. You know what I mean? That's all I can be. That's all I've ever been. That's all I'm going to continue to be, is a real person that keeps real with myself and people around me. So when I wrote that post about kind of my takeaways from that situation, it was very well thought out, by me, at least in my opinion. Excuse me. So I just wrote the post. It basically just repeated all the things I think about George Floyd being murdered and how horrible it is and horrific and cowardly and a whole bunch of other words I used. I kind of repeated that so people definitely could tell how disgusted I am with that happening. But also in between there, I added things that I do and do not support. So I mentioned, you know, like, I do support, you know, people going to that cop's house and basically demanding justice outside of his house. And, you know, he tried to, I guess, order takeout food several times, and the takeout people didn't deliver to him because they realized who he was. So that all I completely support. Then I mentioned some stuff I didn't support. Like, I didn't support rioting. I don't support looting. I think that those things are just destructive things that aren't really you know, accomplishing anything positive, in my opinion. So with that being said, wrote the post, posted it, and I did something that I never do. And what I did was when I posted that, I took a screenshot of how many Facebook friends I have. And because I was like, this is one of very, very rare instances where it's such a polarizing topic that there's a chance that some people would unfriend me just because, you know, my take isn't good enough for them, basically. And so I did that. And I just kind of watched it as the week progressed. And when I first posted it, a lot of people responded and said, hey, very well said, Terry. I agree 100%, which obviously that always feels good when people agree with you. But then eventually, of course, there were some people that didn't agree. And I expected that. That's no problem at all. I wouldn't have posted if I wasn't prepared for that. But yeah, a few people responded basically saying that they agreed with some of my points, but they basically respect me as a person. And then some people were more verbose in their explanation of what they think I did wrong or things I left out, which is fine. I think that, you know, they're all good points, and they're points taken for sure. And so there was a fair amount of discourse between those people. You know, like I talked to Marcel, the owner of the football team I coach, and he was one of the people that disagreed with me. And I said, hey, man, you know, I love you, and I'd love to talk to you more about it. Basically just to reach better understanding, you know what I mean? No ego involved, just trying to learn and grow. And so he said, yeah, let's have a discussion. And then there's another person that criticized me for not including racism and oppression in my post. And so he was Johnny on the spot for that. And so, you know, I just responded to each person as well as I could, you know what I mean? Just saying that I understand your points. And, you know, that was pretty much it. Well, long story short, during this week, there was 5 people that unfriended me on Facebook, which I noticed some of you, that's going to seem really petty. Like, Terry, why do you care who unfriends you on Facebook? Well, let me tell you why I care. When you unfriend somebody on Facebook, what that's telling me is that you think that person's a lost cause. And, for somebody to think that I'm a lost cause, as it pertains to, you know, justice or Black Lives Matter or, you know, the right thing in America, that just shows you how disconnected that person is from who I am. And so that's kind of hard for me to, process, you know what I mean? Like, how could that person, like, get that bad of a read on me that I would be a lost cause? But at the end of the day, you know, hopefully those 5 people weren't people that I care about or people that I care about their opinion. I can tell you that I figured out one of the 5 people, and she is not a friend. I mean, she's like an acquaintance, not a friend of mine, definitely not in my life in any way. And so her not being my Facebook friend has no effect on my life whatsoever. And so that's good news. The other 4 people, I have no idea who they are, and that's okay. I knew that was going to happen. Like I said, I just wanted to express my disappointment, basically, and that people think that the answer to some of these things is to unfriend somebody, like there's some kind of lost cause. I understand that some people are lost causes, but for somebody that's my Facebook friend to think that I am so far gone that they don't even want to see my Facebook posts anymore, that's pretty hardcore. And I think it's extreme, and I think it's bullshit. And so I just wanted to be transparent with that. So moving on to, we're going to get into my guests soon. So I guess in conclusion to that whole thought of the day is just, like I said, I care about people liking me or agreeing with me more than I should. And I need to work on that and figure out how to not care as much. And so I'm a work in progress on that for sure. But all I can do is just try. All I can do is try to learn and grow and be a better person than I was yesterday. So that's all any of us can do. The other post that I wanted to touch on before we get into the interview is I briefly made a post saying, hey, I'm basically dedicating the whole month of June to me furthering my understanding about racism, oppression, and basically just the Black experience in America. You know, I'm a guy I'm almost 40 years old, but I'm Italian, which a lot of people would call white. And I haven't dealt with those things my entire life. And so it's hard. You know what I mean? It's hard. It's one thing to see something on a video that disturbs you or hear about something happening that's disturbing and having empathy for that thing happening. But it's different between knowing something and having empathy for it and actually feeling it, you know what I mean, on a visceral level. And so I think that's the disconnect for me, is I need to take it to the next level of not just knowing about it and having empathy for it, but really feeling it as a human being and having it disturb me on a different level, right? Because when that happens and things can start happening, you can start making progress because people are actually feeling these things happen on a more personal level, which is what we need to do as a human race. So that's what I'm working on now. So I mentioned that in a post. I said that this whole month of June, I'm dedicating to me furthering my knowledge in that scope. And so my first guest is a young man by the name of Dorrance Roberts. Dorrance, we know each other through Colorado football. We actually had went back and forth years ago, I think about Antonio Brown. But he's a good dude. He's a really smart dude. He's really well-spoken. And I appreciate that he has a level head about most things. And so I thought he'd be a great interviewee as the first of four on this journey of me trying to enlighten myself. So without further ado, let me pull up this interview. Here is my interview with Dorrance Roberts. So that's Dorrance, like Lawrence with a D as in Delta. Dorrance Roberts, who went to Grambling, was All-American running back, and just awesome dude to talk to. So here you go.
Roberts to the podcast, TL Talks podcast. D, I appreciate your time, man, first of all.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So, like I told you, I always go over kind of how we know each other first. So, pretty brief. So, technically, we don't know each other, but we know of each other mainly through a Facebook page called Colorado Football Talk. So, on that page, you know, me and you are both on that page, and I've made it a point to whenever, you know, guys talk a lot of crap, but whenever I see players that are kind of the best at their positions, I always send them a friend request because basically I respect people being the best at what they do. And so,
on it.
So you were kind of in the conversation for one of the best cornerbacks in the area, and so I sent you a friend request a while ago, and you added me as a friend, and then since then, we haven't had that much interaction. I think we kind of went back and forth a little bit a while ago when Antonio Brown was kind of in the, you know, in kind of the front of the news. And so we went back and forth then, and then since then, I hadn't heard much from you, but recently, and this is kind of the reason I had you on the podcast, is because you made a comment on somebody else's post. And your comment kind of caught me off guard because it was basically like somebody had posted about that officer, Derek Chauvin, or however you say his name, and it was like, you know, a picture of him in a Make Whites Great Again hat, and basically you just denounced it. You said, it's not him. You know, I know you want it to be him, but it's not.
And, sometimes, man, like a lot of misinformation, misguidance, and division is going to be put out.
Yeah.
Like, y'all, everybody's on Facebook, so a lot of stuff going to be put out. A lot of people going to be trolling. A lot of things going to be a bunch of lies. So try to divide us even more, so you got to double-check stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was like, I'm not going to take it as as a face, you know, and put out my emotions. I'm not going to put out my emotions, and I'm going to try to see what this really about. That's what I try to do with the things I post on Facebook or when I'm commenting on people's pages.
Yeah, I respect that, man, a lot. So that definitely caught my attention, and I was like, "Man, let me hit this dude up because if he's not buying into that stuff, then that means he's smarter than most." And it sounds like he takes his time to actually kind of fact check stuff to make sure that, you know what I mean, what he's putting out there isn't BS or you know, overly biased information. So that's kind of how this all came about. then I'm glad that you took me up on doing the podcast interview. But yeah, man, only the first question I have for you before we kind of just freestyle is just your background. So I know when I did my brief research on you online, because you mentioned you went to Grambling for college, I saw that you had over 1,000 yards rushing as a running back. And I think it was 2011. Does that sound right?
That's right. My All-American year, man.
Yep. So I looked that up, and I fact-checked you. So that's confirmed. But, yeah, man, I'm pretty sure you're from Florida originally. But, yeah, just tell us about your background, man. Like, where you grew up and, you know, a little quick synopsis of your life so far, if you don't mind.
All right, so I'm from Tampa, Springs, Florida, a little small country town.
Okay.
We really stayed in a spot for over a year. So I guess you could call it a Section 8 or welfare baby, you know, at the time. I went to school. It probably didn't even last over a year. So a lot of things happened. My mom faced domestic abuse, and I had to stay with my grandma a lot. And once we finally got on our feet, that's when we moved to Clearwater, Florida. A lot of people don't know where that's at, which is over there by Tampa Bay. And we moved to a place called Greenwood. This place is what a lot of folks would call the hood. It's pretty bad out there, you know. People slanging drugs or people getting shot, always fighting. The best way to try to survive that type of environment is to go to school or play sports, and that's all I did, man. I just played football, you know, and just stayed in school with it. Like, my brother was in that type of street life, and he made sure, like, hey, man, you're going to go get your education. You're going to do something better than this.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a little hope, you know, with my brother. He took me to practice, literally, football, made sure I was getting to school and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's when I went and moved with my auntie at the time. I only stayed in Greenwood for about maybe two, three years. And by this time, I wanted to go stay with my auntie. Now I'm in high school, freshman year. From there, I was staying with my auntie, and my brother was in another room. I was just staying on the couch. At the time, my mom was in an even worse neighborhood, and she didn't want me to go stay with her. So that's when I was staying with my aunt. But even things was bad then when I was staying with my aunt. Like, people were kicking in our doors, man. That was the first time I ever had a shotgun put in my face, man.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was pretty crazy. So, you know, I went against adversity. You know, I fought adversity, and I was just like, you know what? I want a better life for myself, and I want a better life for my family. So,
yeah.
I stayed playing football, made sure my grades was right, and that's when I was up in recruited by Grambling State. Let me rewind a little bit. The day we got robbed, the next day, I went to stay with my friend. He's my white friend at the time. He's still white, but my white friend, they took me in. They took me in, and it was like, you know, you come stay with us, so you make sure you don't get in the streets. It was good, very good folks, you know what I'm saying, at the time.
Yeah, good people.
When people say, well, all white people bad, this and that, I know that's just not the truth. You know, I would say his name on the radio, but I'm not going to say his name because I don't know if that'd be cool for him. I don't want to put him out there like that, but... I went and stayed with him for a while, continued to play football. They kept me on the right path. Finally got to Grambling State. Yeah, rest is history, man. Now, you know, I went to the military, and rest is history.
So you mentioned having a shotgun in your face. How were you when that happened?
So I was a freshman, so about 15, I was about 15 years old when that happened. And one of the scariest things in my freaking life. They was one of those guys was trying to do is just look for drugs. For drugs and money. Like I told you, like, my brother was in the streets at that time, and I guess that's what they wanted, but they end up, you know, we end up getting out of it alive, man.
Yeah, thank God. So your brother, you said he was kind of involved in that life and he wanted something better for you. I assume he's your older brother?
Yeah, he's my older brother, of course.
Okay. And he, how is he doing now, if I can ask? Is he doing well, or?
Fortunately, my brother passed away back in 2016 due to suicide. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly, man. I faced a lot of adversity, man. My aunt at the time, she died of brain cancer since then. So she passed away. For a lot of people that was very close to me end up passing away, man. So adversity. But what I kept close is, you know, what I knew what they wanted from me and what they wanted me to do. So I can go to the streets and I didn't just back down and just gave up all my dreams, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's crazy. So, you need, like, if this is too personal, you can tell me to fuck off, but basically, like, from what you told me so far, you know how, like, people have their inner circle? You know what I mean? Like, it's like you have your family or your immediate family, and then you might as well have friends that feel like family. Those people growing up, like, who do you have left? Or, you know what I mean? Like, who's your support system currently?
So, like I said, I'm gonna just say their last name. So the Celetics is my white friend. So
yeah,
I still have them. You know,
I still have
my lady. You know, she supports me. I have my mom still here. She still supports her husband. My older sister is still here.
Okay.
But that, you know, I have my friends here and there, of course, but, you know, the closest ones to me is, you know, my family's still there. They're still here to support me.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. So one thing that's interesting is, to get on a lighter subject, is, you know, you were a really good running back in college, and then I didn't even know you played running back until I talked to you. So, you know, I knew you were a pretty good cornerback here in Colorado. So how did that happen with the transition from running back to cornerback? Like,
so in high school, I was playing running back and I was playing a little safety.
Yeah.
But at the time, my home school needed a running back. They was pretty like that safety, expect on defense. So I was like, hey, we need the back end. That's what I stayed with. But I always had more fun on defense. I could freestyle a little bit. It's much easier. It's not too much to learn. You know, you don't really have to think too much on defense. So it's like,
that's true.
So I was having way much more fun. I'm over here. I'm basically having to start a new life. So this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to play DB.
Yeah. Okay. So have you ever thought about dipping your toe back into running back in college semi-pro, or you're having too much fun as a DB?
So the thing is, I am having too much fun on DB, but as a running back, you have to lift different.
That's true.
You do not have to lift the same as a DB. So I already knew, like, as a running back, if I was going to go back to the life of a running back, I have to prepare my body to take those hits again. That means working out every day. Like, literally, in college, I didn't miss a day. So even when people had days off, like, I used to come in the gym and still work out or do some cardio. And I'm not young like that no more, man. I'm 29. I'm about to be 30 this year. So it's like, I'm not going to lift like that again. So, like, you know, I'm going to just keep it mellow, play DB, and don't have to lift like that. Don't have to take too much hits.
Yeah. That makes sense, actually. That adds to my opinion that you're a smart dude. So that's just more proof. So yeah, man, I can dig that. So let's dive into just talking. So I guess with football, let me think if there's anything else I wanted to ask you before we go into other stuff. Do you have any favorite teams besides Grambling?
Good question. So college wise, of course, I support my Florida teams. I love the Florida Gators. Back then when Chris Leak, you know, Jeff Dempsey, you know, all the guys, Chris Rainey. That's a long time. So I know a lot of people don't even know who I'm talking about. The guys I used to look up to, Jeff Dempsey, Chris Rainey, I was like, I'm going to be running back like that. So Florida Gators, the years when they was winning in basketball and football, this is back in 08, 07, they was such a powerhouse. Still a little bit of a Florida Gators fan. I still love them. I like Jacksonville Jaguars. I used to be a Bucs fan until they got rid of John Lynch and Warren Sapp and, you know, all those other guys, man.
Brooks,
the GOATs, you know.
Yeah.
Once they started getting rid of that championship team, I was like, it can't be the same anymore. And being a Bucs fan now, it's pretty stressful. So I try to keep it. I like Aaron Rodgers. So I usually stick to players, really. It's less stressful. So I like Aaron Rodgers, you know. I love Adrian Peterson, of course. But, you know, running back-wise, I like the Saints. Obviously, we in Grambling, Louisiana.
Yeah.
You got me with the Saints. This is the other choice. Yeah. You need to be a Saints fan or a Cowboys fan. You take your choice. Of course, you're going to be a Saints fan.
Yeah, for sure.
So mostly Florida stuff and a little bit of Saints. And you, like you said, you kind of root more for players than teams nowadays because they kind of disbanded your Buccaneers. So
exactly.
I got you. That's fair, man. So I guess that's a good segue, D. So speaking of the Saints, I got to ask you about it.
Yeah.
I got you, man. I got you. So obviously, I think it was just like yesterday, they announced, you know, that Drew Brees was quoted as saying, you know, he stands by that he doesn't respect or support anybody disrespecting the flag. And, of course, you know, in the current day, that's pretty much the worst thing he could have said, considering, you know, the temperature of our culture and how people could take that. So I've heard since then that he's come out and apologized. And he said basically it breaks his heart that he hurt so many people. But what is your take on that, man? I'm kind of I'm a little bit torn, to be honest with you. I think you mentioned the military. I was in the military myself. We actually have a couple things in common. I was in the military for 4 years before I moved here, and I also lived in Gainesville, Florida for 2 years when I was like around 19 years old. And so I was right there in the middle of, you know, the swampland. But yeah, I was in the military, man. So the reason I say that is because since I was in the military, being in the military, I mean, I'll put this into words. I wouldn't say it makes you more patriotic than somebody else, but serving your country is something to be proud of, in my opinion. And so the way I look at it, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree because you're a smart guy. I think the biggest, the reason that people disagree about Colin Kaepernick and kneeling and, you know, during the national anthem is because, it's probably stating the obvious, but for some people, I don't think it is obvious. I think to different people, the flag represents different things. So, like, for me, the American flag represents a lot of good things. Right, like it represents the land of the free, you know, a place of opportunity, the place that I'm from, you know what I mean, the place that I'm proud to be from. But for a lot of other people, it's not that. A lot of other people, it's just cloth, you know what I mean, or it represents a lot of things that aren't good, you know what I mean? So it, depending on how you feel about the flag, changes everything. Because if you don't think the flag is shit, then who cares if you're kneeling while it's, you know, being raised during a song. So I think that's really the core of the disagreement, is that there's a lot of people that don't care about the national anthem, or they don't really think that the flag is anything more than a flag. Then there's other people like myself that associate the flag with a lot of patriotic things. And so it makes it a little bit hard, you know what I mean, to not be offended by that. So with that being said, what is your take on that whole thing, man? Because I try to be open-minded and not be just like one way. I see both sides, you know what I mean? But it's kind of tough.
So start with the Drew Brees thing.
Yeah.
I just think he's sorry that he got caught for saying it. I guess he expected a different outcome, you know?
Yeah.
He says that he had his parents or a grandpa, you know, in the World War and all that. But he forgets that it was also black people that fought in that World War II.
Yeah.
Fought there, we was right by his side also.
Yeah.
And he forgets when those black people was even fighting the military, they wasn't even allowed to, like a lot of those folks wasn't even allowed to even, they didn't even want them to join the military. A president literally had to make law that you couldn't discriminate against black people or religion and all this stuff. A literal law for it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he thinks that the flag is just all about him. You know, the flag represents freedom for a lot of folks. Right?
Yeah.
Some people don't feel like they're free. They don't feel like they are free, like they're an equal, like they're a fellow man, you know?
Right, right.
That's why they feel like, okay, well, that flag does not mean the same thing to me. Because I mean, they feel like you are benefiting from the full, you know, power of the freedom of the flag, but they are not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's not the same.
I feel like, you know, do I benefit from the flag? I feel like I benefit from the backs of the people that paved the way for me, like the people in the civil rights movement. Like I'm standing on the backs of giants, like just like Martin Luther King You know, like a lot of people say Malcolm X, you know, not just them, though, you know, Betty Shabazz and people like that, the women of the movement, you know what I mean? That's why I feel like I'm on their shoulders and I'm benefiting from that. I feel like once you see somebody taking a knee, you know, ask them why. Like, why are you doing this? Like, what's going on? How can I help? How can I make a change?
Yeah.
The NFL just recently started doing this national anthem thing because the Department of Defense gave them money to do it. They did it because it is a better recruiting system, better recruiting tool.
Yeah.
So they just paid them millions just recently. And recently, to be probably maybe 5 or 10 years ago, they gave them millions of dollars. The Department of Defense gave them millions of dollars to, you know, do all this full-fledged, you know, patriotic thing. The NFL doesn't care about no vets like that or Patriots or the military like that. But they care about dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were before until they got paid.
Yeah.
So people go and get mad like, oh, well, you need to stay, you need to do this and do that. You realize, like, the NFL really doesn't care like that. That's just another way to divide us. But if the freedoms you fought for, if a person, if they want to take a knee, and aren't they free to do so? So why does it make people so angry? And it's not just NFL players that's doing it. You know, I'm not just talking about taking a knee. Everybody's not standing still and putting their hand over their heart and pledging that flag.
Yeah.
A lot of people around, they still go to buy food, getting their hot dogs, eating their popcorn. They're still doing all that stuff, right?
Right.
And nobody says anything about it. So you got to think about it. So what is going on that is trying to make you program to hate your fellow man? What is this really about, you know?
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
I got you. I think the most unfortunate part of that whole situation, D, is that because Colin Kaepernick chose to kneel, when he chose to kneel, where he chose to kneel, during the, you know what I mean? Like, the time, like, he chose to kneel before an NFL game, right, which is obviously a lot of people looking at you, during the national anthem, when the flag's up, right? So the unfortunate thing is that since he did it at that time in those circumstances, his message was lost in a lot of people, right? And so a lot of people just got offended instead of seeing where he's coming from, right? And so I think that Colin Kaepernick, his heart was in the right place. He did it for the right reasons. And obviously the current, you know, most recent events are proof that, you know, he saw things coming from a mile away, but because of where he did it and how he did it, you know, and during what he did it, it just, you know, it went over a lot of people's heads. You know what I mean?
How is he going to try to make people listen, though? Because
yeah, I know.
You kneeling, that's not okay. You wearing I can't breathe shirts at a basketball game.
Yeah.
Hey, that's okay. You cannot tell a person how to voice it. You can't do that.
I got you. Yeah, I was thinking about that, actually. I was thinking about, like, okay, so I know that the way he did it wasn't overall successful because it made a lot of people feel a certain type of way. And so I was thinking, okay, Terry, well, how could he have done it differently, right? Could he have done it some other way that would have been just as effective but not pissed as many people off? And the only thing I could come up with, D, was if he had, like, got with his teammates and went down to the end zone and basically kneeled, like, away from the flag before the national anthem. And then once the national anthem started, he stood up and faced it, you know, like everybody does normal. Because I feel like that would be still a silent protest. It would be symbolism that he's facing away from the flag. He's taking a knee, you know what I mean, in remembrance of people that have been, you know, murdered unjustly. But it also wouldn't piss anybody off because when the national anthem started, you know, he stood up and did what everybody else did, so there's no reason to be offended. So that's the only thing I come up with, but, you know, like you said, it's hard, you can't criticize how people protest.
Well, people protesting is not supposed to make you comfortable. It's not supposed to make you
comfortable.
it's not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
When the civil rights movement was going on, there's like, we're going to make these racist people comfortable. All right, so let's ask them how they want us to protest. No.
Right, of course not.
When they went to Selma, you think they did exactly what those racist cops want them to do, or the racist people at that time want them to do? No. That's why that student got beat. A few of them even died from that, man.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not about making you comfortable. It's about trying to make you listen.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah, for sure. So there was a time about, I'd say, maybe in the last year or two, I kind of had an epiphany. I wanted to share this with you because for me, in my experience, it's kind of a big epiphany to have. So I was kind of, it was kind of random, man. I was just like driving home from work, and I think I had been pulled over by a cop, right? I don't know if I was like speeding or I had expired tags, something minor, right? So the cop pulled me over, you know, told me whatever I did wrong, gave me a ticket, and I went home. Or maybe he didn't even give me a ticket. Maybe I got a warning. But it was something minor. Went home, paid the ticket, you know, life goes on. So then I had an epiphany, and I was like, man, I was thinking some of the videos you see online is of, you know, black people, and they're having interactions with cops, and they're getting pulled over, right? They're getting pulled over just the way I was pulled over. Same thing. Like, you know, they did something, quote unquote, they did something wrong. They get pulled over, a cop comes up to the window. You know, it happens to everybody. But the difference is you could see in these people's faces that they literally were scared for their lives.
Right? You got pulled over.
Yeah, so that's the thing, D. So I put myself in those shoes, and I said, when I've gotten pulled over, because I've been pulled over a lot of times. I mean, when I was younger, I was stupid. I used to drive without a license. You know what I mean? I was just doing whatever I wanted to do. So when I've been pulled over, you know, I got to be honest with you. All the times I've been pulled over, I not once ever, like, feared for my life. You know what I mean? Never thought things would go sideways. Never, like, that never even crossed my mind. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, it wasn't even in my, like, it wasn't even in my head that could even be a possibility. So then when I realized that, I'm like, damn, dude. So that's crazy. Like, if I was a black person and I get pulled over, I would definitely have a different experience. And not only a different experience, but it could be to the point where it could escalate and I could be assaulted or even die. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to think about. You know what I mean? Like...
Mm-hmm.
It's like a WTF moment. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Like, you get pulled over for something minor and you end up dying? Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
And so, remember when I was in college and I was driving, my friend, she was driving and I was in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
We driving to Tennessee and we went through Mississippi and got pulled over. And the look, while we were getting pulled over, like, the look in her eyes was, like, I'd never seen a person so scared before. No, that was fear, man. She really thought she was going to die from the cop. And he just gave us a warning. He was just like, hey, you're speeding, stop speeding, bye. She couldn't even drive anymore. Like, we had to sit there for another 10 minutes to make sure her heart could come down.
Wow.
It was scary, you know what I mean? And then where I was at a McDonald's, me and a couple other friends, I'm not going to say their name. Like I said, well, I don't know if they want me to, but...
Yeah.
My friend, he was driving. I had another guy in the back. I was in the passenger seat. Man, we was young guys, and we went to the McDonald's, ordered, got to the second window, got our food, went and pulled over to and got in the parking lot. The parking space, right? Like a lot of people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the parking space, you know, we started to get our food. Next thing you know, we got a cop behind us. Next thing you know, three other cops pull us up and come to our window, not even tell us why they pull us over. All they said, we want all everybody's ID in this car. Why, man? Why do you need it? Like, what's going on? I'm not even driving a vehicle. Why you need my driver's license? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people of color don't get to have that, like, that constitutional right. You know, we don't really get that constitutional right. But we're not even driving the car. We park. We go ahead and take everybody's ID, bring it, have it about 30 minutes, bring it back. Doesn't even say why you pull us over. Nothing. Another time when I got pulled over, it was me and three friends in the back, got driving. I'm in a passenger seat, always in a passenger seat, you know.
Yeah.
We was at the beach, you know. A lot of guys going to have their shirt off, right? So we get in the car, we get to the stop sign. One car passed by, another car passed by. Our turn to go, we in a turn. Literally 2 seconds later, we get pulled over. He asked for all five of our IDs. He tell us why he's pulling us over. Bring us back ID, nothing. Like, it's just stuff like that. I never really thought back then that I could lose my life just from getting pulled over. But I feel like there's a few times we was pulled over unjustly, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
Unjustly.
Yeah. So you said that you kind of mirrored my thought that you've never really, like, been pulled over and been afraid of what's going to happen, but you have experience where you've been pulled over unjustly, and there was no reason, there was no explanation. It was just like they might have been profiling you or whatever it was. You know what I mean?
How do I really know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. So what has been more of your experiences, man? I told you, like, I've been alive almost 40 years now, and, you know, nobody chooses what they are, so I'm an Italian man myself, and I realized that, you know, there is some privilege in that. Like, you know, here's the thing, man. The thing about privilege is, this is just me thinking out loud, it's tough because not only do you not pick what you are, but you also, you know, obviously you live your life through your eyes. So you, like, you know, you live your life and you have things happen that are good and bad. But for people like me, the difference between me and somebody else probably is that things that have happened that were bad to me, they never had to do with my skin. You know what I mean? That's a huge difference. So whether, like you said, whether it be profiling, whether it be somebody being afraid of something bad happening if they get pulled over, anything that's ever bad that's ever happened to me, it was never because of me being Italian, right? So the most, you know, quote-unquote racist thing that I can think of that ever happened to me was just, like, people calling me some kind of slur, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, you know, like when you're young and immature, people just say stuff. But outside of that, man, I've lived a very, you know, like, privileged life, to be honest with you, as far as not dealing with that stuff. But then the problem with that is, and that's kind of, you know, why I wanted to have these certain guests from my podcast, just to educate myself. If you can only speak from your experience and you haven't dealt with a lot of these things and you've heard that other people deal with them, the problem that I have is I'm trying to bridge the gap of knowing something and feeling something. So I could know that, you know, what happened to Rodney King or what happened to, you know, the guy that was jogging in Georgia, or, you know what I'm saying? I know these different stories, but knowing and feeling are two different things. And so for me, that's my biggest struggle, because it's not that I don't care. It's just that it's hard for me to feel it on, like, a visceral level. And so I'm not sure if that's because, you know what I mean? Like, to be honest with you, man, and this is me keeping it 100. If I see a video online, and it's of, I don't know, like, I'll give an example. I just saw a video of, like, these dudes that were looting stores, right? And it was, like, two dudes, and they, like, walked past this, like, old, like, white guy, right? It was, like, kind of frail, and they just, like, started punching him for no reason. You know what I mean? And the guy, like, flipped out and said, like, stop. You know what I mean? And they just kept walking. It wasn't a huge deal. Like, wasn't like they killed him or hurt him bad. But they, like, basically just punched him a few times because they could. You know what I mean? But I noticed that when I watched that video, it bothered me, right? So then when I dig deeper, I'm like, okay, well, why did that bother me? The first thing is it wasn't right. Like, it was bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, they're hitting an old white dude. Like, they, you know, doesn't have a chance in a fight against them. Like, that's some cowardly shit, in my opinion. But also, if you dig deeper, I think when you see somebody of the same race as you getting hurt, right, or getting taken advantage of, or whatever it is, getting killed, you know, getting assaulted, whatever it is, it hits different. You know what I mean? Like, it affects you differently when you see it. And so I'm not sure why, from a psychology perspective, that is the way it is, but I think that is very true. So, with that being said, when I see things or I hear things, I can have empathy for it, and I can say, that's obviously wrong, it shouldn't happen, it's a tragedy that it did happen, hopefully it doesn't happen anymore. Right. But I think the unique thing about
the George Floyd video was it was a very rare time in our social media where we felt like we had the whole story. So we didn't, in my opinion, you'll probably agree with this. In social media, when you see stories, usually you see one of three things. Either you'll see a picture, right? Or you'll see a video. Two and three are both videos. So there's either pictures one, a video is two, a video with volume. Let me put that in there. So pictures one, video with volume is two, video without volume is three. Those are the three things you see when you hear about it, you know, whatever happening or a story or somebody's assaulted or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Kind of clickbait stuff. So in my opinion, when you see a picture, that doesn't do the story justice because you don't know what happened before or after the picture. The picture is just a still shot of, you know, something happening. So it could be, you know what I mean, like somebody punching somebody, but you hadn't just seen him get sucker punched. You know what I mean? There's always different variables you didn't see. If you see it, go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like, truth is believing and feeling, you know?
Yeah.
You sit there and you tell somebody about something, but if they're not seeing it or experiencing it,
yeah,
you really empathize with you?
Yeah, like, you know? To what level, right? Like,
I mean, that's the same thing in America. Like, a lot of white folks don't think it's such thing as white supremacy. A lot of people don't even think racism exists. A lot of people don't even think white privilege or privilege exists in a factor because they feel like, well, I don't experience racism, or I don't have this special thing called white privilege or supremacist. You know, I don't have this, so it doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But it's, what's crazy about it, it's a group of people that's telling you that it is, but it's always some. The problem in America is always someone that's always trying to counteract what someone else is trying to say. Like, if I'm sitting there telling you, hey, man, I'm hurting, like, I got stabbed. You know, yeah. Well, I got stabbed too, so, you know. That person got stabbed. Everybody wound matters, man. That goes back to the all lives matter thing.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to tell you, hey, listen to me so we can heal this wound. We can try to help you, and then we can help that person too.
Right.
But nobody actually wants to listen. Everybody wants to talk. But then you were talking about the reading thing. Like, I remember I told you a while ago, like, the average American reading level is at a 7th, 8th grade level. Like I told you before, I mean, before we got on this talk, like, what do you think the average thinking level in America is? You know?
So thinking
the
level?
The average reading level is 7th, 8th grade level.
Yeah.
The average level is
not going to be that
high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, for sure.
Vote the way they do or they think the way they do is just pure ignorance. You know what I mean? Then you talk about the Rodney King riots. A lot of people don't know about this kid named Latasha Harlan. The year before that, she died in 1991. You know, it's from a Korean store owner. She shot her over a bottle of orange juice, you know? And the Rock King thing was just, in 1992, was just a thing that broke the camel's back, you know?
Yeah.
Everything is now, like, first, what came first was Ahmaud Arbery, and we wouldn't even know that he even got killed. We wouldn't even know anything about it wasn't for the video, right?
Probably, to be real.
They would have got away with it, you know? So we saw that, then everybody was, That just started boiling emotions, and then George Floyd just died. And the way that Trump did it, he just didn't give a damn. He was just looking at the camera like, well, you're not going to do nothing. And then the cops was just blocking like, no, you're not going to come near this, as the man is literally screaming for his mama, losing his last breath. And that was the start that broke the camera back. That's why America's on fire right now.
Yeah.
You know? And he just, like, Kaepernick, what he did 4 years before this time, it's like, man, hey, I'm kneeling because of this, and I'm not trying to disrespect the flag. I love our military members, blah, 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 but nobody didn't want to hear none of that, right? Well, let's see what he's talking about. Let's try to build, like, make some type of policy for him, some type of retraining. You know, let's try to make it better for everyone, you know? But nobody wanted to listen. Now you have this. Another story.
Mm.
Now, and I promise you, it's probably going to happen again because nothing changes in a day, you know. Nothing changes in a month.
Yeah, not overnight, for sure.
Never.
Yeah, man. So what I was thinking was, in a picture, you just see a still shot of something happening, and you don't see anything before or after it. There's no, you have no, way to put the story together with just a picture. Then if you have a video with audio, then you can see what happened during that video, right? So you can't see what happened before the video or after the video, but you can see what happened in the video. Then if you see a video without volume, then you see what obviously what happened during the video, but you don't hear what happened, right? So like the example would be, I just saw a video of like this woman that was standing outside of her business. I think these dudes were just like, you know, whatever, damaging the business right in front of her. And you see the dudes kind of like walk away, and then all of a sudden they turn around and then they attack her, right? Well, since there's no volume in the video, there's no knowing what, like, if she said something that made them do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's no volume, so she could have called them the N-word, like, they, you know what I mean? You don't know. You know what I'm saying? So, like, with that, if there's no volume, then there's even more things missing. So my whole point of that whole analogy is that oftentimes you don't have the whole story, but with George Floyd, in my opinion, we had enough of the story to know that it was a completely bullshit, unjust murder in broad daylight. You know what I mean? Like, we saw the video last for fucking 10 minutes. We saw the guy talking shit to the cop. Cop could care less. Cop had his knee on his neck, you know, for 9 minutes straight. The guy was screaming. He became unresponsive. Didn't even care. Then, you know, the Asian guy was just, you know, standing there doing what he thought he was supposed to do by watching these other guys back. But it's just like, man, like you said, I think you asked me the question, you know, when you talk about good cops and bad cops, if there's bad cops and there's good cops around them, but the good cops don't, you know, turn in the bad cop or like hold the bad cop accountable, what does that make the good cop, right? Like, what's your definition of good cop? So
it's like everybody say, well, I fuck cops and fuck 12, and they'd be like, well, fuck all cops because all cops are bad. I mean, that's not necessarily true. It's
really not. Definitely not true.
You, when the good cops are protecting these bad cops, right? Yeah. Either they're taking money from a crime scene, or they're doing drugs, or they're taking steroids, or they're doing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, just corrupt.
And you don't go ahead and put that complaint in about this individual, and they go and kill a person, you could have prevented all this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To make it look like you're accomplice, so you're a bad cop, too. Just by association, as you said.
By association, yeah.
That's just what I'm telling you. You know, I'm bad. Guilty by association.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so speaking of that, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I respect your opinion, is when I think of me trying to dive into racism and oppression in America, you know, and trying to educate myself basically about it, obviously, I've never experienced racism, right? And I've never really experienced oppression either, in my opinion. And so this is all going to be secondhand accounts. But I wanted to hear your opinion of, like, the different levels of racism, because I know that racism is wrong regardless of how it is, but I also know that there's different levels and different ways of being racist. Like, I hear about implicit racism. I hear about systemic racism. You know what I mean? And obviously, there's just plain racism of somebody, you know, doing something, you know, face to face. But how do you break down those levels yourself? Do you, like, do you look at them as kind of all the same, tomato tomato, or do you look at it as
At the end of the day, it's basically the same, but you got your past, you know, like those ones that are like, you know, basically calling people the N-word, you know, behind them. Or they'd be like, well, I got one black friend, you know, and they think all of a sudden that doesn't make him still racist, you know. You got your aggressive racist, straight to your face. I'm at a Klan rally. I got this Nazi tattoo on it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the audacity to carry a goddamn American flag.
Yeah.
A Nazi tattoo. How disrespectful. That right there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sidetracking. That right there is more disrespect to the flag than someone kneeling. A freaking, you know how many Nazis killed our American man? And you know how many Nazis killed all these people?
Yeah.
But you want to try to swing. See, I think people try to change what the American flag is. Like, I feel like American flag shouldn't be at no Klan rally. Because it doesn't, you're not representing what that flag's supposed to mean, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said, you got your passive aggressive. You got some races are just,
I'm just playing stupid, man. Like,
playing stupid?
They don't know they're racist in a way.
Oh, okay. You know, like they're in denial?
They're in denial.
Okay.
Yeah, see, black people like I don't like those. Like this is what I literally heard. You know, I don't like them, that black and that white couple like that. You know, I don't like mixed couples. Oh, but I'm not racist. But why you don't like that? You know, they can't really give you a reason.
Yeah.
But they think black people and white people together. They think black people should go to different schools, but yet they call them, they try to say they're not racist. Or they'd be like, well, white people are superior, and this and that superior. That's kind of the definition of racism in a way. You think you're white people superior than another race.
Yeah.
That is in itself. That's my take on that one, man.
So you say those are all kind of the same to you. They're just like different ways of being racist?
Different ways of being racist. All, you know how they say, you know, you got the left wing and the right wing, government, all the same bird, man.
It's all racism,
you know.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. I think that is one thing that will bring America down in itself, just plain racism. But you would think it'd be us against the world, you know, us Americans, us against the world, but people hating each other over a freaking race. People so programmed, you know, man. It's
huh. So,
it's a woman named Jane Elliott. You know who that is?
Yeah, I've heard of her.
So that's a good person for people to look up. Whoever listened to this, Jane Elliott, she's a anti-racism woman, and she talk about race.
Oh yeah, she's old white woman.
Old white woman. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a YouTube video of her.
Yeah, she got a lot of videos out there, man. She's one good person to listen to.
Yeah.
When it comes to race, she is the tip-top thing you want to learn more about.
Yeah, she's got it nailed. Okay. I respect that. So I wanted to ask you, what is your opinion of – I know this is kind of a loaded question, but I'm curious, what do you think? So, like, with – you just mentioned people that are racist. They'll say, like, I don't like the white person and black person being together. So what is your opinion of certain black people feel very strongly that the black family is like a thing that's kind of going away in America, right? And so they're very strong proponents of keeping the black family alive, and so they literally won't date outside of the race, right? So it might be a black girl that only dates black dudes or vice versa. But they feel very strong that that's very important. And so in your opinion, and obviously just your opinion is your opinion, my opinion is my opinion, but do you think that that's really a huge factor in the future of the black community or not so much?
You talk about as black families not being one again, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, no, I'm saying like a lot of people put a high priority on like a black, you know, a black guy making sure that he's with a black woman and having, you know what I mean? Like black kids, like, you know what I mean? Like they make it a priority to not date outside of the race. So what is your opinion of that? Do you think it's just to each his own? Do you think it's important to the black community or you know, what is your 2 cents on that?
Well, you think of it like this, right? So Asians, usually Asian people, like Chinese people,
yeah,
or Korean people, Japanese people, a lot of them don't date outside their race.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, you're going to date another Chinese man. No way you're going to bring home a black guy. Mm-hmm. But like, I know for a fact, from my experience when I was dating a Korean chick for a second, man, like, when his father calls, she's like, don't say nothing. And I'm like, why? Like, so she go speak her language and speak with him, get out there. I'm like, why? But they don't really like me dating black people. I'm a Korean person. So I guess, in the instance, like, some people feel like this is the only way we're going to build our culture back or make it be more of us than anyone else. Therefore, we could take over this and take over that. As far as a black man wanting to date a black woman because you feel like it's a dying breed in America.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really see anything wrong with it. Personally, I don't care who you date. I think all people are beautiful.
Yeah.
Black, green, yellow, I don't care. Hey, if you're beautiful, you're beautiful. You're a good person.
Yeah.
Your heart, you know, you love people. You love nature, man. Hey, I'm all for it, you know.
But
you got your people that, like, don't. Like, personally, some, like, in my family, too, though, like, I've been told, hey, don't go date a white girl. Don't you go dating a white girl. And I asked them, and I'm like, why you don't? Because a lot of them are going to say that you rape them or whatever, and you don't go in jail for life. All because it happened to, like, something like that happened to a cousin of mine.
Yeah.
And end up in trouble. But, I mean, I'm like, not everyone is that way, though.
Yeah.
I dated who I wanted to date, love who I wanted to love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sometimes, like, some people just feel like, hey, even with white people, like, white people, some of the white parents, they will want them to date other white people. Like, again, I'm speaking from my experience, like, in high school, a white chick told me, I tried to talk to her, and she told me, well, we aren't the same. I'm like, well, what you mean, like?
what are you talking about?
She was talking about my skin color, and I was like, I didn't really understand it. I was like, what the hell? You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. Some people just feel like they want to just stick to their own blood, man, because they want to just make their culture bigger, make their family bigger. Like, it's the thing with Native Americans. I think all people just do. That's just something they do, man.
Gotcha.
Mixing things or stuff like that.
Yeah, a cultural thing, kind
of. Is it racist? I'm going to say it's racist. I think it's more of a culture thing. Now, what will make it racist, like, I don't like black and white person together.
Yeah.
Like, why? Because I don't like mixed kids. I don't like blood mixed. If there's something like that, they go saying crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even my little races, you know what I'm saying? Like, a little prejudice, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. So, speaking of that, that's a good segue. I wanted to talk to you about let me give you like a reference point. So a couple of years ago, I kind of got into a back and forth with somebody on Facebook, and it was somebody that, you know, I knew through football. She's a woman that lives in Texas, and she kind of was like going back and forth with me, and she was basically just telling me that I didn't know much, and I needed to do my research. And she started bringing up things like from Black history, just trying to basically school me. But, I mean, her approach sucked, you know what I mean, because she's talking down to me. And so that was unfortunate. But some of the things she said to me, I was like, well, let me look it up. You know what I mean? Let me just try to see if, like, what it's about. You know what I mean? A quick Google search can tell you a lot. And so one of the things that she brought to light was, like, redlining.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, so I looked that up, you know, to see kind of, like, what that was or how much legitimacy there was to what she was talking about. And it was all true. You know what I mean? I saw it with all the history of it. I saw how banks, you know, would, you know, not basically just deny black people from certain neighborhoods from buying houses. And then that, in turn, affected generational wealth for, you know, people of color. So the whole thing is obviously messed up. It's something that's not a part of our general knowledge. Definitely is not taught in schools, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of glad, man, to be honest with you, that she even said it to me, because I would have never known. You know what I mean? Like, me living in my little bubble, like, I would never just stumble upon that. You know what I mean? Like, you're not just going to randomly Google redlining. Like, I've never even heard the redlining before she said it. So it was cool that I figured, like, I did the research for myself, and I found it to be true for myself. But when I did that research, I kind of like, I'm a little bit of a nerd by nature. Like, I like to dive into things and kind of figure them out. So try to, like, research all this stuff. Because you know how when you Google something, you'll find some stuff on it, but then that'll tail off into other stuff. And before you know it, it's like a, you know, a rabbit hole. Like, you know, 4 hours later, you just research some different things. So when I did that, obviously that happened, right? So I saw all this different stuff. So all this stuff about, you know, blacks not being able to get house or buy houses, and then them living in certain neighborhoods, and then I put two and two together and realized that there was more, like, liquor stores, for example. Like, there'd be more alcohol around certain areas.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there'd be more alcohol, there'd be more guns. And so it seemed like it was breeding, you know, like, this environment for basically not to thrive in life, right? Like, obviously, if you're an alcoholic, you're probably not going to get a lot done or live a very successful life. So I feel like a lot of this stuff was very intentional, and it kind of put, you know, those people behind the eight ball. But then when I put all my research together, Dee, what my conclusion was, because I asked myself, okay, Terry, can you come up with an answer of how black people today can basically, like, fight through the history of what's happened to black people before them, right? Like, what is the X factor that can kind of bridge the gap to put them on an even playing field with everybody else today, was what they deserve, right? So my conclusion was, the answer to that was a college education. I thought that if a person has a college education, that's going to put them ahead of a lot of other people as far as job opportunities. And at that point, unless you're literally, you know, applying for a job that they have some racism in their job, you know what I mean? Like, they don't want to hire black people, which I don't think is that common anymore. You have a pretty decent shot at having a fair shot at the job world. So that was my conclusion. Then I talked to a friend, and he brought up that a lot of black people, like, have single-family homes. And so he was saying that single-family homes contribute to a lot of things. Like, if you look at the facts, you look at the statistics of, you know, people that are involved in crime or join gangs or, you know, are in and out of their justice system, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. He was saying that the stats say a huge contingency of those people come from single-family homes. And so he's saying that's kind of the root of one of the problems in that culture, is that it's so prevalent that that's a huge factor. Then lastly, I talked to a girl named Danielle, who I know through football, and she actually is a teacher. And she told me the education system is kind of the root of it. So she says, you know, because and this is all stuff you already know, but I'm just saying it out loud, in the education system, because a lot of people, you know, the white people will be in a certain neighborhood, they'll have more funding, they'll go to a school, that school will have more funding, the teachers will get paid better, and it just goes on and on. Then the black people will go to a different school, less funding, you know, less education, less quality, like, the teachers are getting paid less, everything's just less. So it's not a fair education system whatsoever. So her point was that if it was fair, that would be the building blocks of fixing what's wrong with America, because when her opinion was the black people are kind of starting from behind, not because it's their fault, just because the education system is broken. And so those are the three things. Those are the three conclusions that I thought I came to, but I'm just fucking some, you know, 40-year-old Italian dude. So what the fuck do I know? But those are the three things that I kind of came to based on my opinion, my buddy Ray's opinion, and Danielle's opinion. And so I wanted to hear what you thought of those, and if you have anything to add, you know what I mean, from your own perspective.
Let's start with the head up a big breath, man. That's a long time.
Sorry about that.
It's all good. So let's start with just redlining. So in the meaning of it, which is a systematic denial of various services by federal government agencies, local governments, as well as the private sector to residents of specific neighborhoods or communities, either directly or through selective raising of prices, right?
Yeah.
Example of redlining have involved denial of financial services such as banking or insurance, other services such as health care, just race, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, like some black population, was given D ratings, and residents of those areas was refused loans. So we couldn't even get loans, couldn't even get better health care. So, you know, basically the redlining made the black African American community. It's almost like a a plan to make us fail to begin with, all because of race and racism.
Yeah.
Also, the same neighborhoods is what they don't really talk about projects, right? What is a project, right?
Yeah.
It's really an experiment, man. Everybody know what a project is. I think it's just some type of local government experiment, right?
In school, that's what it is.
Exactly. Same thing, these projects, these neighborhoods, or the hood, as some people just call them, they don't talk about is lead paint, right? They got lead paint in the housing. And you know what lead poisoning does to the brain? Or what it does to the kids? So if you don't know, what it does is make people more violent. It kills the brain cells. It basically makes people more violent. So a lot of it's violent. So with that, you mix that with alcohol, you mix that with, you know,
guns. Oh, yeah.
So you mix all of that, right?
It's a bad recipe, yeah.
The recipe is going to want you to kill yourself. So a lot of shooters in these neighborhoods, a lot of fights going to happen in these neighborhoods. A lot of single parent homes going to happen in the neighborhood because if dad is out there fighting, or if the dad get in trouble one time, you get a felony. And to this day, if you got a felony, you can't really rent property. You can't really get a good job to support your family.
Yeah, agreed.
So with all that being said, you're going to end up finding a lot of single parent homes, dad in and out of jail all the time, you know? So a lot of that stuff, it hurts the family, hurts and usually the son is going to follow that path. So it's a lot of plan of a tear down, you know?
Yeah, it's a generational problem.
Generational just decline, you know? That's a lot of black people be like, hey, we want reparations because of such and such. To make things better, man, I think it's going to take basically a lot of funding, man. They have to knock those buildings down with all that lead paint in it. A lot of people can Google this, crime linked to poison, basically, meaning a lot of people that commit crime has some type of elevation of some type of lead poisoning or crime linked to pollution. You know, dirty water, man. If it's not the lead, it's not just in the paint, it's in the water. Like, Flint, again, that lead, like, I bet you, like, their crime problem, wherever in the world where you find high crime at, right, it's going to be linked to pollution. So it's not. So you got your redlining, you got your lead paint, you got this liquor, you got all this stuff, all this generational downfall stuff. Yes. And then you go say, well, pull yourself up from your own bootstraps.
It's not really fair.
It's an article out there now that they did a study where if your name sounds black, you won't get hired.
Just because it sounds black.
I swear, man, you can go ahead.
What?
Don't believe nothing I say. I want you to go Google it.
Man, that's wild.
Please sound more black. It is less chance of you being hired, even though your resume is the same as a counterpart, right? You have things like that. So, man, when it comes down to it, how can we really be better? The only way we be better, the only way we make America great, right? Because I don't think you can't say great again unless it was great before.
True.
You know, yeah, for whom? You know?
Really? Exactly. That's the question. Great for who? Might have been great for Trump's dad or something, but.
You know, Trump and the 1%ers, you know, all the upper class, the ones that got the biggest breaks and don't even have to pay no taxes. The Amazon.
Right.
Next thing. Me and you pay more taxes than these people put together.
That's crazy.
Anyway, I'm sorry, I got kind of tired. The thing we can try to make things better is we have to work together. We have to listen to each other more than anything. We have to get people, I use the term hyena, right? So these hyenas, all they want to do is take and destroy. That's what hyenas do. They tear down, they destroy, they kill the land, right? You have people like that. You have these jokers out here. Like, you see my status when I was talking about this.
Yeah.
You have people that have been watching too much jokers on movies. They just want to watch the world burn, man.
Literally.
And will hold us all back. But we all know these type of people, right? We all have these friends. We know who those people are. We know who these far-right radical people are. We know who these far-left radical people are. And we know between radical people are that just want to see the world burn. It's up to us to be able to stop them, like, man, no, don't go looting. It's up to us to say, hey, man, no, don't go. Don't, you need to stop being racist, man. You need to stop loving one another. Everybody know a racist person. Everybody know a person that hates one another, you know. Everybody,
And so it's up to every single one of us to actually work together. But it's so crazy how they just pin us on one another, man. It is. And it's like the middle class versus the lower class. The black guy versus the white guy, you know? And
I feel like we fall for it every time, too.
And it's so easy.
It's too easy.
If you have any conspiracy theories that listen to your podcast, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, MK Ultra and the CIA, you know, doing this and that. They don't even need MK Ultra no more, man. They have Facebook, they have social media.
They
have more than enough to know who you are, to sit there and spot your mind. You notice it, even say, hey, I want to go buy some Burger King. Next thing you know, you got Burger King on your Facebook line, you know?
Yeah,
if your phone is listening to you, if they follow every little thing that you do on your Facebook and your social media, to the point they know exactly what makes you pissed off. They know what makes you happy. So they go ahead and put all those articles out there on your Facebook to make you pissed off. Oh, wow. You know, like people like, I know a lot of people right now that they can't his own thing, man.
Yeah.
And she's just a divider in herself. I truly believe that she doesn't like people of color at all, man. I went to her Twitter. You can go ahead and look at her Twitter and see how bad it is. Like, and if people that, and if you, if it, and I said on my Facebook, like, if you agree with that, you can just unfriend me because she is nothing but a divider. You go ahead and feed into that, you know?
Yeah.
And what we cannot do is continue to feed into the bullshit. Continue to feed into what they want to divide and divide us, man. Because once you know, I'm talking to the racist people out there, black, white, green, yeah, I don't care, whatever you want to call yourself. To the racist people out there, you got to stop being freaking racist. Go talk to that person that doesn't look like you. Go talk to that person that don't live in your neighborhood. Go talk to that person that doesn't necessarily agree with you. All right?
Yeah.
And I bet you'll find out that person bleeds just like you bleed. Likes what you like. Struggle how you struggle. Lost how you lost. And love how you love.
Yep.
So that's the thing that's going to fix everything, in my opinion, is going to be love, bro. We have to actually talk to each other. Like, our generation, man, well, I mean, you're older than me.
Yeah.
My generation, or even younger, like, all we know is cell phones, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We go out in public, we all into our cell phone. We don't talk to each other no more.
Yeah.
Or we don't know how to talk to each other. Be like, I'm not going to answer your phone call. I'm just going to text you. Because you don't even talk to each other. But we don't even talk to each other. You know, it's true, man. We don't know how to talk to each other. We don't even tell each other that we love one another.
Yeah.
It's hard for me. I'm guilty of that, too. Like, some of my friends, my close friends, guys, it's hard for me, like, especially for guys, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the same problem for you. But it's hard for me to tell me I love my friend. I don't know what it is. It's just hard for me to tell. But I do love them.
Yeah.
It's hard for you
to say it.
Yeah. You know, women can do that easy, but for a man, I don't know why it's so hard for us. But as a human race, as American-American, or African-American, Caucasian, you know, Italian, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, we have to love one another. We're going to be great. Because right now, man, it seems like a lot of these people just want a civil war for real. And I don't know what. And it seems like we're playing right to it. We're playing right into the game, man.
Yeah.
The way we could beat the game is if we could talk to one another, love one another.
Yeah. Which ironically is what we're doing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool. So my next question for you is, I only have a few left before I let you go, is how do you battle bitterness? How do you not let things, you know what I mean, like, you personally, how do you not let, you know, bad news or just society or social media, how do you not let it get to you to the point where it changes who you are?
So, personally, man, at an early age, I lost a lot. And I know that, you know, life is too short to just be angry. It feels better to be happy.
Yeah, that's true.
That feeling you get when you eat that donut, you know, you eat that ice cream, you know?
Yeah.
It feels better to be like that than be pissed off all the time.
Yeah.
If I let every single thing a person say to me, man, I've been called racist by black people. I've been called coon. I've been called all type of names, but I don't let it get to me because I know that's not who I am. Yeah. And people I love the most know I'm not like that. A lot of stuff you're just gonna talk junk or you just can't let it get to you. It's better to live and be happy than sit there and be pissed all the time.
Yeah.
It feels better.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, some people just aren't very good at it, you know what I mean? And so I was just wondering how you regulated that within yourself.
Find a hobby. You draw, sing, you write poetry, you like to play the game. Go do that. Mm. Go do that.
Got you.
Make others move.
Yeah.
Listen to you. All right, whatever. You know about you. Don't care what everybody got to say about you. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be you to you. If you understand what you may be a loving, great person. Don't expect everybody else to be a loving, great person just like you.
Yeah.
It's just impossible.
I made that mistake for a long time.
See?
I got disappointed a lot.
You cannot expect people to care for you the way you care for everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
you cannot do yourself.
Not realistic.
It's not realistic, and you'll drive yourself crazy trying to expect that.
Yeah, that's true. My next question for you is, what is your advice on navigating social media and the information that's being fed to us? Because I don't know about you, man, but it feels like it's too much information. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much information. There's information out there. There's misinformation out there. It feels like I would have to quit my job and just do research all day to sort through it. So what is your advice on how to navigate that?
So your best way to navigate it, man, Google.
Yeah.
This way, man.
Quick Google search.
Go do your research, man. You see something there, like, this guy's wearing the MAGA hat. He's this and that. Let me go type this in. Let me go look up stuff. I learned in college how to do research, but a lot of people don't make it in college, which I understand. You know, a lot of people then graduate out of high school or even make it to high school. So your best do is, man, just try to go look up what you're seeing. Don't believe everything that's out there like that.
For sure.
You got to remember, like, a lot of movie theaters, a lot of people are really good with the camera. They're really good with these articles and misinformation. Around this time, most information comes out around wartime or a time of unrest. Election time, yes, election time, wartime, and a time of unrest.
Yeah.
A lot of misinformation come out. Mm. So the best way to try to navigate stuff like that is go do your own research. Go look it up yourself. Let's see how real this is. See how real what I'm seeing right now. Like, a lot of people repost articles that has clearly fake. And hey, man, that's misinformation.
That frustrates me, man.
Like, I think the way right now you can see that is misinformation, which is really easy, if they try to say, well, Democrats are this and that, blah, 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 it's probably not going to be true. Or they'd be like, conservatives or Republicans are this and that, and they say that, blah, 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 blah. That's not necessarily true. That's just trying to make Americans be divided against each other. When you see articles like that, is, hey, let me go look this up. Did Republicans really say this? Or did the liberals really say something like this? Because you'll see a lot of people like, well, liberals, this and that, and they always saying this and that. You know, Obama, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, did Obama really do this? Or they're just trying to make me hate this man or hate my brothers and sisters that support this guy.
Yeah.
You know, right now, it's basically, what they're doing now is, like, they're putting Trump supporters basically against everyone else, you know? And the best thing I'll tell you with that is just if you feel like I wouldn't take anything at first sight when it comes, because it's about to be election. Elections basically start now. A lot of states right now are doing some voting or pre-voting. The best thing I tell y'all to do is get out there and vote. Don't just go out there and protest and riot. You know, just go out. Your ass is better be voting. don't just be out there and be like, I'm about to make a change and don't vote at the local level.
Yeah.
Your city. You know. If you don't even know who your governor is, you shouldn't be out protesting nothing.
Yeah.
If you don't know who your city mayor is, you shouldn't be out there protesting. If you don't know who's in your seat in Congress, who's running stuff from who's making your laws, you don't even know what the House and Senate is.
If you don't even know what the job of the president is, Department of Defense is, if you don't even know what none of this stuff is, you don't need to be out there protesting. Mm. Because it starts in your city, it starts in your state, it starts with your senator, and it goes from there. If you don't know their number, email, and you're not hitting them up, you shouldn't be protesting, you shouldn't be riding.
Mm. Man, I wish we could enforce that, but unfortunately we can't. So we got anybody who wants to out there doing whatever they're doing. This is a random question for you before I ask my last question. So I had one person on my Facebook post today. I talked about how I pretty much just want to dedicate the entire month of June to interviewing people like yourself. Like I have you, somebody else who my aunt referred me to, and also a guy that I coach with who's a sheriff deputy. And so but those are the three people in June that I have lined up to interview. And so one of the people I posted today about that I just dedicated June to that cause of just educating myself, she's actually a player for my football team. She said, hey, can you please address or have a segment about Robert E. Lee? And so she said, basically, I want you to help people, like, separate fact from fantasy. And so do you have anything to say about that, or should I ask the next person? Because if you don't, that's fine.
He's nothing but a traitor, man. He's a traitor to American government.
Is he?
If that's who he is. Robert E. Lee, I mean, the dude is a racist. He's a traitor to his government. His statue should be taken down. Nobody would erect a Hitler statue.
Yeah.
In Germany. You can't even walk around with Nazi symbols, man. You'll go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So why would somebody here be okay with Robert E. Lee or any other Confederate boy that was fighting to keep slaves? See, that's what it's about. The states wanted to secede because the North was like, nah, man, you're not going to keep slaves. Let them be free.
Mm-hmm.
What you should do is do a segment on a man named John Brown.
John Brown.
He's an abolitionist, and he was just like, you know what? He's a white man. He was like, I'm sick and tired of this. Like, you're going to treat everybody equal.
Mm.
So John Brown is a guy I like to see a statue of.
Gotcha.
Crazy looking man, but
but a good man.
He led the raid on the Harper's Ferry, you know, burning down and stuff. And they say that's what really set off the Civil War.
Mm.
Pre-Civil War, when that man went there, and then he brought his son with him. And he was like, you know, he brought his son with him. He's going to each little estate and freeing slaves and killing the slave owners. Mm. That's what John Brown was doing. He was like, we're going to really see how, you know, this is what we're going to get you free. And when they went to go hang him, he said, you will see that the black man will be free. And then next year, that's when the Civil War started.
Man, that dude walked the walk.
He walked the walk. He talked it, and he walked that shit.
Man.
That's when he went down at, you know, Harper's Ferry. He was like, we're going to take all these people, their guns. We're going to blow up that stuff. And we're going to go around killing these slave owners, freeing these slaves, and took the slaves with them to try to basically free every man and woman, you know.
Man.
So it ain't about Robert E. Lee. Forget Robert E. Lee. Like, he's a guy that was a traitor.
Yeah.
He let the Confederate try to beat the North to make sure they could keep slaves. So when you see, looking at seceding letters mm-hmm. to the government at the time, and they basically was like, we want to keep our slaves. That's basically, like, they said a bunch of stuff, but basically wanted to keep slaves. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Civil War happened to be about. A lot of people will tell you the Civil War wasn't about that. It's about states' rights, is what they say.
Yeah.
It wasn't really about that. It was about trying to keep those slaves.
Yeah.
And that's what Robert E. Lee stood for. He wanted to keep slaves.
Mm.
You know, so, and John Brown was one of those guys, one of those white guys, was like, no, we're not fucking having that shit.
Yeah, we're not doing it.
No, so, John Brown, may he live, may his, may he live forever, you know?
Yeah.
People know who he is. You know?
Yeah. But, a lot of people don't know that stuff.
Hey. Information is power, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot of people don't know
the real story about Robert E. Lee, and a lot of people don't know who John Brown is. So, like you said, no one's half the battle.
Right.
I appreciate that. So, last question for you before I let you go, man. So, what, in your opinion, what can a guy like me do to help?
First and foremost, man, listen.
Yeah.
Listen. Listen is just half the battle right there, man.
Yeah.
Listen and then do.
So what about the do part?
So when you listen,
do based on what I'm hearing, or what things you think a person like me could do that would make it have the biggest impact? You know what I mean?
So the biggest impact is you trying to vote. Vote for, go out there and vote with us, with the people that's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
To try to change a law or make a law, you know?
Yeah.
With Georgia, if we was in Georgia, I'd tell you, hey, man, go and vote and make sure they got some type of hate crime laws. Right, in Georgia don't even have hate laws.
Mm-hmm.
So when they killed that Ahmaud Arbery, they called him a fucking, you know, fucking nigger right there on there. And this is in the court case, you know? They called him that. That's a hate crime. He killed them and called them that damn terrible word.
Yeah.
And can't even charge them with hate crime because Georgia doesn't have hate crime laws. And if we were there, I'd tell you, man, I need you to go vote with me to make sure there's some type of hate crime law created.
Yeah.
Yeah, protesting is one thing. Yeah, I appreciate you protesting. I appreciate you listening. But now we have to go vote and change this law. Or we got to vote somebody out. Like somebody, if people don't like who the sheriff is or the police is in town, vote that sheriff out.
Mm.
Vote somebody that's more in line with your values.
Yeah.
Good, positive values that's going to help the community. That's the way to do it. Not just always just get angry. Emotion is going to lead you home. It's going to lead to destruction of yourself and your community.
Mm.
What you must do is to help yourself and everybody else. Align your votes with mine. Align your thoughts with my thoughts. Mm. Listen. And then while you're listening, you might even hear a person like, hey, man, I need you to help me with this, or I need you to do this or that, and help them do it. Especially if it's good and positive, it's going to make a change for the best. That's going to help.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate your time, man. Is there anything, one thing I always offer my guests before I let them go is if they want to plug anything. So is there anything you want to plug before I let you go?
No, man. I got nothing to plug, man. I appreciate it.
All right, bet. Well, nice talking to you, man. Now that I have your cell phone, I might hit you up from time to time if I want to, you know, ask your opinion about something, or, you know, just get your 2 cents, because I do respect your opinion, and I appreciate the talk a lot.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the talk, too, man. Hit me up anytime.
All right. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you.
All right. See you.
There you have it. That was my interview with Dorrance Roberts Jr., actually, to be specific. Awesome interview. Awesome dude. I really enjoyed that interview. And a few takeaways before I let you guys go is, first thing is, I need to shut the fuck up. So I talked more during that interview than I would prefer. And so I'll definitely try to do a better job of not talking as much in the next interview. Specific takeaways from what Doran said to me. The first one that jumps out at me is, he said, you can't tell somebody how to protest. And so when we were talking about, you know, Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, et cetera, he made a very good point that the whole point of protesting is to make people feel uncomfortable. And so you can't tell somebody how to protest, which is a very, very good point and point well taken. Besides that, I mean, he said a lot of things. It was really cool to hear his story. Where he's from, things that he's went through, which are, some of those things are really crazy, and things that I'm very privileged to not have to deal with in my lifetime. But yeah, just a really good talk, in my opinion. So I learned some stuff. Hopefully you did too. I'm definitely going to do more research. To be honest with you guys, I kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed with the research I need to do. It's probably going to make you laugh. but I have, you know, people tagging me with different Netflix things I can watch to educate myself, and then also just researching certain people to watch, you know, whether it be YouTube videos or just kind of their story, like John Brown. So I got my work cut out for me, but I'm willing to do the work to better myself, basically, so that I'm in a better position to be educated and help more people. So for what it's worth, I'm trying my best. So that's all I have for you guys this week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I will talk to you guys next week. I have to figure out which one of those people is going to be next. Unfortunately, the deputy sheriff asked his supervisor if he could do it, and the supervisor said no. So he's out, but I have somebody else who stepped in his place, who's going to be an awesome interview as well. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Talk to you soon. Appreciate it.